Hello, and welcome to Under the Microscope, KBIA's weekly look at stories in health science and technology. I'm Kyle Diaz. For over a century, 4-H has been teaching kids how to raise animals, like cattle or hogs. But these days, many kids are choosing to focus on the mechanical rather than the biological. But first, David Wang is a virologist at Washington University, and he spent his career studying emerging diseases and anti-bioterrorism techniques. But his job took on a new importance after September 11th and after the anthrax attacks of late 2001. He spoke with St. Louis Public Radio's Veronique LaCapra.
After 9/11, Congress and NIH decided that they needed to increase funding for specifically preparedness against bioterrorism.
What's happening here in the Midwest to help in this effort against bioterrorism agents?
Here in the Midwest, there is one of the 10 NIH-funded regional centers of excellence, and these are aimed to be foci of research along specific themes to try to help improve our preparedness against bioterrorism. In the Midwest, WashU is the leader of one of these centers, and a lot of ongoing research here is focused on trying to do one of two things. One is to better understand our natural immune responses to viral and bacterial infections, with the idea that if we understand better how the body can combat these agents, then we can utilize that information to develop better vaccines or better therapeutics. A second strategy or approach that my lab is involved in is trying to identify all the unknown viruses that are out there that might be causing new outbreaks or what are called new emerging diseases.
Can you give me an example of one of the things that your lab has worked on?
Yeah, so my lab works on developing better technologies to identify unknown agents. And as an example of what we've been able to do many years ago during the SARS outbreak in 2003, we were able to help the CDC identify SARS as a novel coronavirus, which is a specific type of virus. More recently, along those lines, we've looked at a very small outbreak in a small daycare center of gastroenteritis, so diarrhea and vomiting. And again, we used our methods to identify a brand new virus that we think is a candidate that might play a role now in causing outbreaks of diarrhea and vomiting.
How does doing this research on sort of more common ailments, how does that relate to trying to find ways to protect ourselves against bioterrorism?
Right. So people don't think of something that causes acute diarrhea as necessarily a great bioterrorism agent. But the reason that that's applicable or relevant is that when we have developed these methods and can actually apply them in real life settings to small outbreaks like this, then we have the tools to be able to respond if there is a larger scale outbreak where someone suspects that maybe an unknown biowarfare agent has been released, that the same kinds of methods can be applied to rapidly identify what is there.
How far have we come since 9/11? Are we making any progress?
I'm sure we're making progress. The question is really, is progress enough? And I think that one challenge is that research is inherently slow. And so the very tangible product we're getting out is increased knowledge and converting that knowledge into actual, very practical tools takes some time. In terms of preparedness and identifying agents specifically, which is the area that we're in and that many other researchers work on, I think we definitely are in a much better position now than we were just 10 years ago. And I think a lot of that has to do with opportunities and funding resources that have become available because of the 9/11 events.
Robots have long been portrayed in pop culture as being hulking mechanical monsters intent on, well,
the final annihilation of the life form known as man.
But real robots are a little less scary and a little more interesting, as the kids competing in the second annual 4-H Robotics Challenge found out. Harvest Public Media's Kathleen Masterson has this story.
Hey, okay, guys, we need your input. Over here. So do you think we do a touch sensor or treads? Up the ramp or use an arm to drop it.
The toxic teens from St. Augustine School in Des Moines are debating just how to build their robot. It's just moments after the 8 youth teams have received their challenge. The task? Get the robot to transport a tiny beanbag up a cornhole ramp and then deposit it into one of 3 holes, with the top one worth the most points.
I'm building the NXT robot. since it needs to have like a little support system so it can have the stuff it's using, like the wheels and all the motors and sensors.
Peter Kappert of the Toxic Teens is working with his sister Claire to build the moving components they'll attach to the small robot body, which is about the size of a Walkman. Then they program it using software on their laptop. This is the second year of the Brattney 4-H Robotics Challenge at the State Fair. The number of teams has more than doubled, and this year they had to turn some teams away. Holly Bignall works in Iowa State University Extension's Science, Engineering, and Technology Division and runs the competition.
This is definitely a really quickly growing segment of 4-H.
Bignall says a big part of the goal is to increase the number of youth interested in science, engineering, and technology.
The robotics is really a team activity, and there's lots of different roles for different people. So we really try and encourage the adults that work with the kids not to present it as just something that the kids who are into computer programming will want to do.
And that teamwork, vision, and creativity really kicks into play in the other half of the robotics competition. The junk drawer challenge.
We have like a ruler, a propeller.
That's the atomic fireballs from Dallas County pouring over the odds and ends they have to build their machine. Over at another table, the Lego medics are devising a giant tube to set off a chain reaction of marbles down to chutes.
So one marble is going to come down one chute and hit the mousetrap in sequence.
And after the 3 hours are up, the teams bring their creations to the stage and put them to the test. Two teams at a time face off, and they have 90 seconds to get their robot or machine to run the task.
3, 2, 1, Lego!
Their teammates groan and cheer from the audience as beanbags slide into place, or sometimes land frustratingly close to the hole without sliding in. In the end, the grand prize goes to the exuberant Lego medics. The Toxic Teens win the Junk Drawer Challenge, and the STEM Engineers win the Robot Programming Contest. Jay Staker of Iowa State University Extension Science, Engineering, and Technology says they're really trying to grow their focus on science.
I think it's our future. Most of our youth now live in urban counties. And with that, we have to have great opportunities for these kids to see themselves in 4-H.
I'm Kathleen Masterson, Harvest Public Media.
That's Under the Microscope. I'm Kyle Diaz. Thanks for listening. You can find these stories and many more at kbaa.org.